Have your Bible this morning. I'd like to call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 15, and verse 16. Acts chapter 15. And verse 16. And the 16th verse reads as follows. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Acts 15:16. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments from the theme of kingdom, a system, and a revelation. A kingdom, a system, and a revelation. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. The passage that we've been going over the last month is one of the key passages in the New Testament. It has much to say about the work of the church, and we've been digging into it almost for a month now, but I feel it's very important that we as members of the church know what our task is. We have too many people who call themselves church involved in things that the Lord never called you to be involved in. And you get so involved in the wrong stuff that when it falls down on you or breaks up on you, you want to blame God. And He never told you to do it in the first place, because that was not your task as a member of the church. God never told you that the whole world was going to be converted. He never even told you or me that everyone was going to join the church. Matter of fact, one of the signs of the time is the fact that people are falling away. That's how we would know that the time is close. Because the closer we get to His coming, the more hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious we get. It's very important, if you have your own Bible, that you note the I's in verse 16. It says, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. It doesn't say anything about church folks setting up anything. The I is referring to the Lord Himself. Don't look for a plane in a train station. Don't go to where the trains come through looking for a plane because you're in the wrong place. You see, the Lord's going to do some things when He comes back again. Not the church, but the Lord. Now I'm saying these things because when you pick up the newspaper or turn on the TV, there are threats, counter threats, dangers. All the news is bad. The bombs are being stockpiled. Nations are threatening one another. And if you look at the world's plan, you'd have to say we need a better plan. Because the news is bad. The world is on the verge of destruction. And I don't care who you put in the White House or who you put, you know, in the State House. You're just transferring the load from one party to the other. Amen. Or if you're a chicken, no matter who the cook is, you're still in trouble. No, you're going to get it. See, so as we listen to the broadcast, as we look at the television and the news comes in, it's very important that you know your place in these events. Otherwise, you go running after something, looking for something that's not there. Amen. See, we had 71 persons out for prayer service last Wednesday. Now, some folks could make it. Some are not going to make it. See, some don't have a mind to come prayer service. But you worry, you upset, your nerves about to break on you, but you're not coming to prayer, sir. Well, that's right. Well, when I see and hear what's coming up and read my Bible, and if I'm a child of God, then I realize that my only hope in a time like this is to hear from God. So if I'm in a relationship with the Lord, I don't need a show on Sunday morning. See, I'm not looking for a form of godliness. You know, the tricks are over. The games are over. Halloween is over. Take the mask off. You is or you ain't. Because the times, you know, call for the real thing. Amen, amen. We'll get to the message in a minute, but, you know, back in the 50s, you could play church. You know, and let you out. That's the only thing that mattered back in the 50s and 60s. That you get out on time. I'll get you out on time if your burdens have been lifted. If you have really heard from God, then let's get out on time. But I'd rather have you mad at me and nowhere to turn when the trouble comes than to just get you out of here with the same old mess in your head and heart. Because if you don't know the purpose of the church and what time it is. You be going to the world for stuff that the world can't give you. You hitch up to the wrong system, and you find yourself in trouble. Amen. Now, let me help you out here now. The church should know God's agenda. The church should know God's plan. Let me help you out. See, there are many things that we could sit up here and we could argue from now to next week over, let me see, what color robe we going to wear? What song we going to sing? Or who going to play? But if I knew that the Lord was coming in the next 15 seconds, I wouldn't care what color robe, what color flower you have, where you sitting on the pew. I just wouldn't want him to come and find me more concerned over what color suit somebody has on than, you know, worshiping him in spirit and truth. Now, much of the stuff that we have difficulty in church is not over the Lord. But most of it is over relationship. Amen. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He tells us to forgive one another. Well, forgive one another in terms of what? We forgive, we love, we keep going because we know he's coming. But we don't know when. And if he comes in the next 5 seconds, I want my heart right. Amen. I don't want him to come here and find me arguing over butter on some toast or what somebody said 10 years ago. It doesn't mean that much if I have to meet the Lord. Well, that's too heavy. I'll break it down a little further. If you want to die in the next 30 seconds, how much would you be arguing with? Wait, let me help you out. You've got 30 seconds to get it together. What does your house mean to you? What does your car mean to you? What does your job mean? You only have 30 seconds to get it together. So when you know God's priority, you don't let the stuff get in the wrong place. You begin to walk in such a way that the stuff doesn't bog you down. You don't stumble over it. You don't get it out of its priority. Amen. That's what it means to live, saints. We'll get to that later on. Amen. But you got to know the game plan. You have to know what God's priorities are. Amen. You got to know what the contract states. Is God's agreement conditional or unconditional? What's next on God's program? Now, I'm saying that this morning because we're living in a day where folks won't endure sound doctrine. I'm sorry. But I don't know why God put it down here. You can show them the verses. Let them read the verses. And they look at us and say, well, this is how I feel. And go and do whatever they want to do. Well, now that's all right if that's what you want to do. But see, if you are a child of God and do things your way, then God will chastise you. You don't have to worry about the devil getting hold of you. Now, if the devil mess with you, you can resist it. You can submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But when God starts to whoop on you, Amen. We live in the days of the hypocrite. You say one thing and do something else. I don't know. You come to church and you want the church folks to play the game with you. Well, you know, I guess some folks will play along with you, but just keep in mind, you might fool me because I can't see to the door without my glasses. You may fool church folks, but you can't fool God. And that's the point we're going to try to get you to see. That God is going to root you up, pull off the cover, and show every one of us up for what we really are. Amen. I know there are folks that play in church. They've never been changed, don't intend to be changed. They're going to sit right here. If the Lord comes, and He coming. And they're going to try. Well, they're going somewhere. But they don't tend to go with the church when the church goes.
Amen.
So as we labor with you in the Word, please don't get upset when you meet folks coming right out to church who you know, talk about me or what I preach or what you believe in and laugh at us, do their thing. I mean, please don't be surprised at that. Please don't, please. Because there's some folks not going to endure sound doctrine. They want someone that's going to preach them in their sin and comfort them in iniquity. Matter of fact, a whole lot of preachers are dead right now trying to preach to Playboy Baptist and trying to please folks who ain't even going to heaven anyhow. Amen. You want to put me out? That's all right. I'll go right up there to Cobb Street Parkway and sit down and go to heaven a happy man. Because the way is narrow. It's a straight way. It's a holy way. It's a sanctified way. It ain't no crowd go. Yeah? Once in a while, you'll find a traveler. But the other road is wide. The crowd is on the downbound road. Then you have something else, I don't know, but you have some folks who say, but they don't have any authority in their life or discipline. Let me hate so, I got to go. But grace is not license, saint. Just because you say by grace, it doesn't mean that you can do anything you want in the church. And look, set up anything you want, go wherever you want, and no one questions you. Let me say this because it's part of the message. Now look, if I think you're doing something contrary to the word, the church bylaws and recommendations and agreements, I'll talk to you. See, now, I know you don't want your pastor to say anything to you. See? But I'll say something to you to keep God from dealing with you. See? I'll take the flak because some of us were raised in a situation where you just come to church and do whatever you want. Then ask the church to rubber stamp it. Amen. Now, I don't know what you think a church is, but we picture that soldier. And no soldier goes in the army and gives a general order. We're pictured as the bride of Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He is the head of the church. We are the body. We call him Lord. And he said, why do you call me Lord and then don't do what I tell you to do? So we find, amen, church folks any place doing anything. Put the church name on any old mess. And they say they saved. Now let me make this plain if I can. But there are courtesies, there are procedures in what you call church. All of us have to answer to somebody. I'm saying that because this is what you call home church for some of us. You just don't walk away and not tell someone where you're going. You just don't drift away and don't let someone know where you're going. And I'll tell you something else. Any pastor that would let you in the church and not question where you come from and how you left is not worth the name. Any pastor that would let you drift in and out and not question where you're coming from and how you left is not worth the name. If you were herding sheep and you saw some strange sheep wandering in your flock, wouldn't you want to know where he came from? And I would certainly try to get that little sheep back to the shepherd that it belonged to, or speak to that shepherd and return the sheep to him and find out how it got astray. Isn't that right? Because we're responsible for you. We're responsible for you. I'm responsible for everything I preach across this sacred desk. I have to answer to God for you. I don't know any man that accepted this call, that wanted it. Are you crazy? I'd rather be sitting back there in the last pew with nobody to worry about but myself and my family. So we're responsible. Now I'm saying all of this, you see, because the Lord said, I'm going to return and we'll build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. See, because God had promised Israel a kingdom. Are you with me here now? See, now, if you have a kingdom, you've got to have a king. And a king has authority. I want that to sink in. See, because some of us think, well, I don't have to answer to anyone. But the point we're making now is that God has authority. And he promised to set up a kingdom. In the Old Testament, he promised David a kingdom that would last forever. Hear me now, hear me. He spoke to Abraham and promised him land. He spoke to David and promised David a kingdom. So you have land and a kingdom. Now when you read about those Arabs and Jews fighting over Lebanon and over in the Mideast, see, all of that land was promised to Abraham and David. I know you want to hear me now, but see, and I don't care how the Arabs fight, or who gets on their side, or how many years it takes, that land belongs to the sons of Abraham through Jacob, and one day a kingdom will be set up under and by a son of David. That's why when you hear this stuff, you get your bags packed. Because the church will be gone before the stuff breaks out over there. That's why you ought to be careful about how much time you think you have left. Because the trumpet could sound at any moment now. It's not a question of days now. It's a question of seconds. Now, all through the Old Testament, see, you look in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, you can trace our Lord's roots. How he came from Abraham and David down through 42 generations. That's what gave him rights to be called the King of Israel. He's never called the King of the church. But he is King of Israel. Now, he came to his own. And the Jews rejected him. They'd rather have Barabbas. They rejected the king. Are you with me here now? So the kingdom was postponed for another day. Remember John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If they had accepted John's message, the kingdom of God would have been set up 1900 years ago. But the kingdom was postponed till another day. In the meanwhile, God is calling out another people for his name, called the church. We don't preach the gospel of the kingdom. We don't preach repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The church preaches Christ died for our sin. According to the scriptures, he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We preach the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a different gospel. And it's a gospel used to call a different crowd of people. We are called the church, the bride of Christ. We are on our way to a wedding. We have been engaged, espoused, to one husband. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. He only has one wife. We only have one husband. Only one head of the church. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks don't like it. They don't like it. But one wife for all your life. Because the marriage ceremony is a picture of our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You start breaking that up, then you're saying in effect that he breaks up his relationship with us. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We're to forgive one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. I don't want to get into all that this morning, but this is the church. This is the church. We are not spiritual Israel either. Oh, it's heavy. You probably don't even understand what I'm talking about. But you're not a spiritual Jew anyway. Christ is greater than anybody or anything in Judaism. You do not get converted from Christianity to Judaism. There's nothing in Judaism for you. You've got the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. All that's needed is in Christ. We are complete in Him. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now the church, as a body, started on the day of Pentecost. Are you with me here now? The gospel of grace is preached to the church. As many as receive Him, they are changed into children and sons of God. Are you with me in that? The message is to be preached from the doorstep around the world. Home missions, foreign missions. On the trolley cars, on the buses, in the taxi cabs, on the sidewalks. We're supposed to tell everybody that God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if a person will hear that message and believe in his heart that God has raised His Son from the dead and confess with his mouth, God says you're saved. And the moment you confess that, the Holy Ghost baptizes you, places you in the body of Christ. That's what church membership is all about. You don't hear me. But the Lord told Peter, he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Amen. On the authority that has come to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that I can walk into a hospital this afternoon and go from bed to bed, and as many as will confess the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care what the disease is, I don't care what the situation is, I can give them blessed assurance that if the doctor make a mistake, Dr. Jesus made it all right, and they can be saved no matter what the condition is. I'm saying that because I don't want you to fool yourself. Just being here on Sunday morning doesn't mean that you're saved. Just attending church doesn't mean that you're saved. Some been attending church for years, but haven't confessed Christ yet. You're still looking for pews and stained glass windows, looking for a crowd. But the crowd don't save. Windows don't save. Carpets don't save. Jesus saves. And we preach Christ and Him crucified. And woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You eat all the chicken you want, take all the trips you want, unless you confess Christ, you're lost. Amen. You know, some of us miss the point now. As soon as the church get ready to go on a trip, we go and get all our corner boys and ballroom cronies and sell them tickets to help the church out. And you don't talk to them like getting saved. You act like all we want is their money. Well, if you don't have the soul and you have the money, you got nothing. some of them think because I contributed to the church. You know, and them church folks come around, they be asking me, and I buy their chicken dinners and all that, you know, I must be all right. And they think they're going to make it in on a chicken dinner. They think they're going to make it in because they went on a bus trip with you. And you so hugging up with them that you have them thinking that they're something that they're not. You better be careful. You better be careful to what you invite folks to in the name of the Lord. Amen. No sinner should feel comfortable around you. Amen. This house is a comfort for the sanctified. This house is a refuge for the broken heart, for the poor in spirit. It's really not a place of rest for the sinner. Not until he becomes a saint should he feel at home in here. Some of us think it's great because they want to tell you their latest jokes and invite you to their stuff. They are insulting you. It's not that we're going to change anybody, but the fact is I've been changed. And I thank God that He not only saves, but He satisfies. Amen. And that's why they think you crazy, because you don't jump after the stuff they jump after. You're not going where they're going. They can't understand you. And they'll put you on a chopping block or persecute you or make fun of you because you don't do what they're doing. And amen. And they that live godly are going to suffer persecution. They're supposed to do it. Amen. And you're supposed to be so full of the Holy Ghost that the harder they hit you, the higher you bounce. Say yeah! Amen. And the Lord bring you through. You just can't wait to get with the saints. That's what the Bible says. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. I don't have anybody I can talk to about my situation but you. On the job, I can't tell that sinner. He doesn't know anything about amazing grace, but you do. When I raise my hand, you ought to know what I mean. When I say, thank you, Jesus, you ought to know what I mean. Isn't that right? That's why I love to be around the saints. Because we can share. So, the gospel is an instrument by which God calls and prepares a people for His habitation. He takes up residence on the inside. We can hear me this morning say, just listen, I know you may not want to deal with this, but listen to me. In the church, God promises to take up residence on the inside. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just as you're sitting in this building, the Spirit of God sits in your heart. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. And you and Christ are in God. John 10:27, and it says He holds you in His hand. Now, if I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, and Christ and I are in God, and He's my Father, I'm His child, I'm His son,
and he's rich in houses and land, got the wealth of the world in his hand. Shouldn't that change my lifestyle? Shouldn't I be satisfied? I must hasten on. See, when folks ask you, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I think this is all right. I need some of this, and I got to have some of that. Now, they can't understand why you don't go along with them. See, and the reason why you don't go along with them, because if they are in a right relationship with God, see, what do I need besides the Lord if I'm right with Him? If you say, sister, I don't think you ought to go down there. I'm going. Well, see, if you right with God, you don't have to go down there. You know, God may permit you to marry somebody. But if you're right with God, you don't have to have nobody but Him. Now, hold up now. If I tell you anything else, if I said to you that you have the Lord, but you have to have a car to go along with the Lord, or you have to have a husband, you have to have a girlfriend, then guess what? Whoever you go after, God will have to get them. Because some of the love that belongs to God, you're directing that towards someone else other than the Lord. Then the devil will say, that's the one. I can't get to them as long as they're in Christ. I can't get to them as long as they're sanctified by His Word and Spirit. But here comes Ruffin doing something that God never told him to do. I can get him now. So that person you just got to have, the devil gets after him, and God gets after him, and the whole thing blows up in your face. And some of us are in the process of walking around with Bibles on our head. Something, I love the Lord, but He's not your first choice. You've got a hidden agenda. You've got a little menu down there. Say, Lord, I love you, but if you don't do this for me, I don't know if I'll be able to serve you. I don't know whether I'll be able to live for you. And God is saying, until you drop it, until you learn to love me first. You know what He say? Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. You've got to give it over to it. You've got to put it on the altar. You have to leave it there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all. The Lord Jesus said in John 17 that you are God's gift to Him. Don't you know that before He left, He prayed for you that you might be kept in the world. He turns you over to God for safekeeping. How can you want something in the world that you can't turn over to the Lord for safekeeping? You can't keep yourself. How are you going to keep some wife, husband, and kids? And how can you turn it over to God when you're mad at it? The So God looks at us this morning and He sees that we're caught up. Some of us so hard-headed and stiff-necked that if God wrote it on the wall, He's still not going to listen. So He says, in our text this morning, I will return. He knew that left conditions left in our hands, that we do just what we're doing. And I'm just saying that for your own benefit and sanctification. Because there's a group of theologians, they're called liberals, who came into our churches, especially black folks, and told us that the church was going to make the world better. So we began to send church folks down to City Hall, thinking that we could get people in the government that would make the world a better place. We thought that it was our mission to establish the kingdom of God on earth. So we go around doing good, hoping things are going to get better. Now you still do good, but you have to understand that things do not get better. The Bible says that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world. And when this world comes to the end for the church, it will not be a march down Broad Street. He's coming as a thief in the night. He's going to take what is His out of here. The average church member be asleep anyhow, so you don't know what's going on. But we just came to explain, in case you come back here looking for us next Sunday, and we're not here. Amen. You know where we are. For the Lord says, I'm going to return. I wish I had a lot of time, but the system is all messed up. God promises a kingdom, but we're caught up in a system. Isn't that right? If God says marry and stay together, the system says divorce and get another one. If God says tell the truth, the system says you can lie and get away with it. If God says love one another, the system says you can hate and get away with it. If God says the peace of God will bring the remedy, the world says we need a bigger war to bring in peace. If God says spirit, the system says flesh. If God says obey your parents, the system says you do whatever you want to do because mom and dad don't know what's going on anyhow. If God says faith, the system says works. If God says help others, the system says self. If God says hope, the system says dope. If God says no, the system says yes. If God says clean, the system says unclean. The system is tricky. You don't understand what I'm talking about here. John says all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And anybody that lives under those three standards is in the world system. Folks say seeing is believing. And some of us dumb enough to live that way. You've seen magicians, and when he gets the move in his hand, if you believe everything he sees, you look dumber than you look. You can't believe everything you see. Because the hand is quicker than the eye. Every boxer I see with a black eye is proof that the hand is quicker than the eye. The system camouflages stuff. The same way that a fisherman puts his lure, puts his bait on the lure on the hook and throws it out for the fish. The system will trick you into thinking that the truth is a lie and that the lie is the truth. Amen. And the only way you can escape is to have the Spirit of Truth, who is the Holy Ghost, pointing out to you what's right and what's wrong. Can you say amen? Isn't that right? Many a sister sitting right here this morning, your life would have been beautiful. But some old slickster, deceitful Dan, came up and talked to you, and you knew he was lying, because the Holy Ghost said, lie. That's a lie. That's another one. But you were so caught up in your flesh. I never seen one with a kink like that. I never saw one with a suit like that. Amen. But if you were saved, you were never fooled. You just went along with the program. And instead of a lamb, now you got a bear sitting up in the living room. But the world is tricky. It's deceitful. That's why the Lord said it was expedient to go, that the Comforter might come, and He will guide you into all truth. Amen, 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 amen. You just can't make it because you know God the Father. You just can't make it because you know the Lord. You need the guidance of the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. But I'm so glad that even though conditions in the world are bad and deteriorating, one minute at a time, I'm glad that I have a promise that I can lean on. I'm glad that the Old Testament spoke of the coming of the Messiah. I'm glad that they said He would be of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David. Old Testament tells me that He would die a sacrificial death, that He would die for the sins of the world. The Old Testament, Psalm 16, tells me not only would He die, but that He was going to rise again. Deuteronomy chapter 30 tells me that He's coming back again. So as you look at the Bible, there are two events that you better hook up to. The first and second coming of the Lord. There are two advents. There are two comings of Christ. The first advent, He comes to deal with sin. He comes as a gentle lamb, a meek and humble lamb, to die for the sin of the world. But the second coming, He comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He comes in judgment. 300 times in the New Testament, He talks about His coming again. But Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream in the Old Testament. He saw a vision. He saw all the kingdoms of this world in one big image of a man. It had a head of gold. Yes, it did. It had a shoulder and breast of silver, and a belly and thigh of brass. His legs were of iron and feet made of clay mixed with iron. Yes, He did. Nebuchadnezzar was dreaming. He saw a stone hewn out of a mountain without hand. The stone hit the image at the feet. The stone destroyed the image and became a mountain. Can you say amen? Nebuchadnezzar couldn't interpret the dream. So he called in Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel went back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Said, brothers, pray for me. We want to find out what the king has dreamt. Can you say amen? Daniel went before God. God spoke to Daniel. Told Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar dreamt. Can you say amen? Every child that studies history in a public school has to agree with what Daniel saw and interpret. Daniel looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, King, you are that head of gold. Babylon was the gold. Babylon was overthrown by Persia. That was the shoulders and breasts of silver. Persia was overthrown by Greece. That was the belly and thighs of brass. The legs of iron speak of the iron legions of Rome. Rome overthrew Greece. Amen. Then the toes were made of clay and iron, speaking of the revival of the Roman Federation system in the last days. Those of us that know about the news realize that there are now 10 nations in the common market of Europe. Can you say amen? The stone hits the 10 toes. The stone hewed out of the mouth without hands is the kingdom of God. God was telling Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom must come down. I don't care what it is, it's got to come down. The kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. I don't care what you put up, it's got to come down. I don't care what you look up to, it's got to come down. Every knee, every tongue must confess. You've got to confess that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah.